Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here with a wonderful author on, you know, one of the most important subjects you're ever going to come across, and it is her specialty. She's absolutely fantastic. Dr. Carol Ann Peterson is the author of Interpersonal Aggression, Complexities of Domestic and Intimate Partnership Abuse. And, kind of says it all. And, I love the fact that that the words intimate partnership abuse were added into the title because you cover everything. And so much needs to be talked about this subject, and the start of a radio series is always exciting, but especially when it's something this important. Dr. Peterson, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, listen, congratulations on the work that you've done in this field. It's a disturbing field, and you come across so many disturbing situations, but it's got to be talked about. It has to be discussed, and it has to be understood. But you would agree, right? It's very dark work when you think about it.
It's very dark work. It's uncomfortable for people to talk about, but it's also one of those sort of hidden secrets that if we don't talk about it, then we don't find solutions.
Yeah, just amazing. If you don't mind, let's start off with a little bit of your history, and let's start from the beginning. Where were you born and where were you raised?
I was actually born in a small little town, Miami, Arizona, about 75 miles north of Phoenix. But I spent a lot of my formative years growing up in St. Louis, Missouri, and then moved to California at the age of 11, and I've been a Californian ever since.
Can I ask your first experience or the first memory that you have that domestic violence existed? When was the first time as a young person that you discovered that this is something that occurs and this happens in real life?
Basically, growing up, it wasn't a term I heard, wasn't really aware of it. And then one of my very first serious relationships was a lot of verbal abuse, a lot of psychological abuse that I didn't know it had a label. And when I finally got out of the relationship and looked back, I realized that's what it was, that there was a lot of power and control, and that there were things that I needed to work on myself to understand what I had been through, sort of to deal with the trauma. It wasn't until after that I remembered hearing a story that one of my grandmother's sisters had been in an abusive relationship, and she had actually shown up on the doorstep of my grandparents bloodied and bruised from what she had encountered.
Oh my gosh. That's it's such a disturbing thing to hear about. I imagine the abuses of those times were so much worse. Well, I shouldn't say so much worse, but I mean so much less reported and tolerated than where we are now. I mean, it's just wow. I mean, do you see light? And this is kind of almost a closing question, but let me ask you right at the onset. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel? Are we getting better? Is there becoming more of awareness? And are we becoming less tolerant of these types of abuses as they occur?
We are getting better. We have laws. When my grandmother's sister was abused, there were no laws. Law enforcement didn't have any tools to work with. We didn't have shelters. So we've gotten better. Victims are more apt to report, especially if they know that there's help that is available. We're also getting better about talking about it, and situations such as the Me Too movement, bring things to the forefront. Unfortunately, many times it takes a tragedy for us to sort of, reawaken the general public that this is an issue. But, it's those lessons from those tragedies that we learn how to be better, how to enhance our laws, And even allow people who are friends and neighbors and family to talk about it.
You know, you mentioned the Me Too movement. One of the most important things that has happened over the last, you know, well, it's only been a couple of years since we even heard the term Me Too movement. But again, disturbing, but so important that it occurred, and so important that it got the attention that it did. And if it didn't involve celebrity, I unfortunately it wouldn't get the awareness out there, wouldn't get the attention that it got. So as disturbing and as uncomfortable as it is, again, very, very important. Again, if you're just joining us, or if you're turning on your radio or your computer a little late, Frank McKay here. But much more importantly, Dr. Carol Ann Peterson is our very special guest. And again, she is the author of Interpersonal Aggression, Complexities of Domestic and Intimate Partnership Abuse. Frank McKay here with Dr. Peterson. Doctor, as you were saying, you know, some things earlier, one of the things I noticed as a young man was belittling, like men belittling women, mostly that, and I'm sure it goes to both ends, and you know, certainly same sex couples you could see that in, and maybe women belittling men. But I noticed it growing up in the 70s. I'm 54 now, and I found it so disturbing as a boy, even being 8-9 years old, a man saying to his partner, to his wife, you're so stupid, or you know, don't do this, or, you know, just talking down to them. And to me, I felt that was so abusive. And I know, compared to the physical abuse and sexual abuse and everything else, it's there. But that's one thing that I thought was so understated and underspoken about, was the belittling and what it does to somebody and how it breaks them down mentally and emotionally.
Well, it's one of the reasons why I use the term abuse, because everything is not violent, and we have to recognize that a lot of what happens in relationships that have abuse, it's a power and control issue. And so if I call you names, if I put down who you are, how you look, it gives me the sense of having power. And that power then allows somebody to escalate. And so if something doesn't happen the way I want it, I feel entitled to be able to take another step, whether that's physical, whether that's control of finances, a whole array of things that I get to do because I feel entitled. It's why when I talk with my students, I really put them in the context of the fact that what we have to look at are setting boundaries, and we need to set those boundaries early. The example I use is, if we want to do prevention, the 5-year-old little boy or little girl who kind of pushes each other, and they kind of pull each other's hair, and because they like each other, as adults we think it's cute, but we're not stopping the behavior. We're not saying to them, that's not how you really should be treating somebody, and letting the person it's happening to have the ability to say, stop, I don't like this. And so as long as we think that's cute, and when they do it at 16, we shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, very good point, and very, you know, interesting. I think one of the things that you see as, you know, and again, going back to the 70s, is, you know, you'd hear, you don't hit girls, you don't, you know, you don't get rough with girls, you don't play with rough with girls. And then the, you know, I guess the contrarian would say, well, no, you should, you know, if a girl wants to play rough and, you know, play football, play that, you know, that they should be allowed to do that. That is much different. Playing and being playful and playing games and everything else is much different than actual, you know, I mean, what we call now bullying, or what we call, you know, abuse, and what you, I think, so beautifully outlined in your book and in your discussions and your teachings. But yeah, I mean, there has to be firm outlines for, and I think especially for young men, because the majority of this abuse, I would assume, partner abuse and domestic partner abuse, comes from the male side. Am I correct?
Most of it does, partly if you look at how we have taught young men to be in relationships, whether it was from my grandmother's era or whether it's now, when you look at movies and media and things of that nature that sort of give that premise that it's okay. But the flip side is, you know, women can be abusive as well, and we downplay that. So I don't ever want men who are being abused to think that it's not happening to them. Our estimate is 15% of our population are men who are abused. I think it's higher because I don't have those good statistics due to lack of research of heterosexual men who are abused versus same-sex men who are abused. And I really think that if we do a lot more research, we'll find that I believe it's probably closer to 25% of men are victims.
You know, as you're saying that, I recall a friend of mine, and he's a childhood friend. I mean, I met him as a teenager, and he's a very meek guy, and he was in an abusive relationship with. I chuckle because I know what people are thinking listening to this, but there is a population. You said 15%. I would imagine that's 15% that are brave enough to admit that they were in an abusive relationship, and then certainly there's nothing funny about it. He was in a terribly abusive relationship with a woman, and he wouldn't, I know him very well, he wouldn't hurt a fly, but he was abused beyond belief, and he finally was able to get out of the relationship and out of the marriage as it was. He actually wrote a book, but would not put it out. He actually may be listening to what we say here, and who knows, maybe he'll reach out to you and you could discuss it with him. But I think he wrote an important book, and he, he was afraid of, maybe being mocked or being, putting out some embarrassing things there, but he felt it was very therapeutic and in writing the book itself. But again, let me remind folks who you're listening to, Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, Dr. Carol Ann Peterson, PhD, is our very special guest. And again, she is the author of Interpersonal Aggression, Complexities of Domestic and Intimate Partnership Abuse. And just wonderful work, very important subject. And, we mentioned, if you've been listening the whole time, the Me Too movement and how important it is and how, again, disturbing, but how wonderful at the same time that these celebrities have come forward and spoken out. And the reason I say celebrities, not because they're more important by any means, but because they are the ones that get the ink or more importantly, the digital media and the news media. And that is bringing a light to a situation that has been very dark. Again, Dr. Peterson is here with me, Frank McKay. Dr. Peterson, address that if you would. First, what I said about my friend writing the book. How many of those percentage, again, you said 15% on men. How much bigger would that be, you think, if there was no embarrassment involved and if there was no concern about criticism coming forward?
Yeah, I think it would be a much larger percentage. Like I said, my estimate right now would be even 25%. We need to make it so that it doesn't matter if you're male, female, LGBTQ, that you feel that you have the ability to come forward and tell somebody, and that something happens. Right now, for men in general, if you say that, you're going to get family and friends who might laugh at you. Are you silly? How is that possible? Or law enforcement may not take it seriously. And no offense to friends who are law enforcement, but I know some of them don't take it seriously when they hear that a man is being abused. And we also need to make sure that our laws are gender neutral as much as possible so everybody is covered and has the ability. California, we're very liberal in who is covered. We go from dating all the way to former spouses and everything in between, so that nobody is missed, including teens. Teen dating violence is very serious. In other states, you have to be a spouse and a former spouse. Nobody else is covered. So that means if I'm a victim, I might not have any resources.
Yeah. Yeah, just all great points. You know, marriage equality is something that is, you know, I'd like to say sweeping the nation. There are still states that it is illegal for a man who loves a man to be married and a woman that loves a woman to be married. And for some reason, we are still at a standstill when it comes to that. But I believe as the generations start going up, and again, I know you can't find much solace if you're suffering in one of those states from being recognized. But the truth, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Peterson, is that when the states and the public officials in the states recognize the same-sex couples as marriages, that maybe that would be an improvement too for maybe law enforcement to start taking things seriously. And again, in my particular case, it had nothing to do with marriage equality. It was a man married to a woman, a heterosexual relationship, and the man was being abused. But how much different do you think things will be when subjects like marriage equality are no longer an issue?
And not just marriage equality, but the fact that somebody is in a relationship, an intimate relationship, and being abused. The ability to have resources, the ability to reach out. Right now, most domestic violence shelters, partly because they're refurbished private homes, can't take men. So I have no safe space to put a lot of men who are being victimized. We don't have a lot of spaces for teens. So it really becomes the resources that we can provide to keep people safe once they're out and safely getting them out. So we have a lot of work yet to do in the movement.
One of the things that I was always concerned about, and at a young age, myself and a friend of mine opened rock clubs. And we, you know, rock clubs meaning, you know, places where rock bands play. And we owned three of them on Long Island. And we had a lot of female friends and platonic female friends. And they had issues with stalking. And at the time, and again, you know, we're talking 30 years ago, 25 years ago, there were no laws in New York that prevented stalking or of any kind. I mean, it would be harassment if there was any physical situation, or it would be you know, an assault if there was any physical or sexual thing there. But other than that, there were no stalking laws. Do you touch on that at all in either your classes or in the book? Does the subject of stalking come to mind with anything that you've been doing?
Yes. Both in my classroom and in the book, because we know that close to 85% of abusive relationships have some sort of stalking component. And these days, all 50 states have stalking laws. The issue really becomes, is what is happening to you as the victim rise to the level of the code section in your state? Because every state's stalking laws, the definitions are different, which is one of the issues all of us have in the movement. Of the definition of stalking, the definition of domestic violence is different from state to state. And if it doesn't rise to the level, then the legal system isn't going to see it as stalking. Friend of mine that I've worked with for over 40 years has a great take, and that is, it's basically called unwanted pursuit. But there's no code section for that. And so it really becomes difficult in trying to keep somebody safe when they know that they're being stalked, and it may not rise to the legal definition within their state.
Yeah, it's the good news in all of that is that you said there are laws in all 50 states. Is that correct? All 50 states
yeah.
about stalking. See, that wasn't the case back in the 90s. You know, even as you know, as late as the 90s, there weren't stalking laws. I don't know when they came about. And usually, you know, I think we touched on that. A tragedy probably is what caused the laws to come into effect. And wow, again, just such a heavy subject. And again, the name of the book is Interpersonal Aggression, Complexities of Domestic and Intimate Partnership Abuse. Frank McKay here with the author of that great book, Dr. Carol Ann Peterson, PhD. Dr. Peterson, the subject of, well, you know, for lack of a better term, revenge porn. And I know there's different laws that are going into effect there. And because of the internet and because of, I guess, cameras on cell phones now, they're in partnerships when they're domestic partnerships and intimate partnerships, you know, sometimes they take personal pictures, very personal pictures. I don't know what the solution to it is, but I do know that there are a lot of people who get abused after the relationship is done. And I guess the best term for it would be revenge porn. Is that something that you've ever discussed or that's ever come up in your classes or in the book?
It's not in the book. It's for the subsequent volume I'm looking at writing, but it does come up in my classroom. It really is one of those, as I tell my students, don't be in compromising positions. Even if you're married, because you know, we'd like to think our marriages and our relationships are forever, but they're not. As I tell my students, every relationship comes to an end, whether it's divorce or death. But you don't want to have those compromising pictures that are out there. But especially for teens and young adults, you're in love, this is fun, somebody wants to take pictures. You don't know what they're going to do with those pictures, even under the best of intentions. And so you don't want to be in those positions. It's also why I tell my students who are college age, careful when you're at a frat party. You know, don't be overly drinking. Don't be putting your glass down and thinking you can pick it up later, because you don't know what condition you may be in. You also don't know what picture somebody's going to take when you're in those conditions. And even though we think, oh, I'm in my late teens, I'm in my early 20s, what's the harm? Somewhere down the road, you never know if an employer is going to look at your Facebook page, if they're going to be looking at, you know, your LinkedIn page. You want to make sure that you're keeping your reputation that's going to be 20, 30 years down the road intact. And it goes back to boundary setting. Have the ability and the right to say no and mean no and have it be heard.
You know, coming again from the club business, from the bar business, we'd come across a lot of things. One of the things I said to people, but mostly young ladies that were friends of ours, is never leave your drink. Never assume that your drink is safe wherever it is. I mean, somebody can go by and, you know, at the time, you know, someone like Bill Cosby was an icon and you know, someone considered, you know, above it all, whatever. We find out that, you know, Bill Cosby is a serial rapist and he was somebody that would drop, you know, drop drugs in somebody's drink to, you know, roofies. We know him as but don't leave your drinks behind, I think, is great advice for anybody. Again, let me. Again, remind everyone, we've got a couple moments left, and part one of a series with Dr. Carol Ann Peterson, PhD. She, again, is the author of Interpersonal Aggression, Complexities of Domestic and Intimate Partnership Abuse. Frank McKay here with Dr. Peterson. The idea of that, and again, you said it, and I think it stands out. It's great advice to say to young people, watch frat parties, watch parties that are, you know, unsupervised or where there's a lot of things going on. But don't leave your drink unattended. I mean, it's like one of the commandments of anti-abuse in my book. And I don't know if it still is, but it certainly was back then. Your thoughts?
When I was in the workforce, when I first started to work out of high school, the company that I worked for, and many companies in those days, this was in the late 60s, early 70s, is we had open bars at parties. And it was not uncommon that, you know, you've got an open bar, unlimited drinks. And I remember one occasion where driving home, I thought, I am really not fit to be driving home. And I literally had to pull over my car and think about what I had done. And that was a huge lesson for me to realize that drinking and driving obviously was not okay. But it was also the fact of, if I'm not in control, I don't know everything that's happening. And I have now since made a policy that if I'm at events, I have a drink. It never leaves my hand. And that sometimes I may not even finish that drink because you want to know what is happening around you. You want to know what is going on and have that ability not only to walk out and drive home safely, but to keep yourself safe. And a lot of that is keeping ourselves safe. And so literally, if, like I said, if I'm at a party and I have a drink in my hand, it does not leave my hand. And as you told female friends, if I set that drink down, I never pick it up again.
Right. Dr. Carol Ann Peterson, a final word on a part one, and what would be an appropriate part one ending and final thought, as we have so much more ground to cover. Can you give us a final thought?
Set boundaries for yourself. Set boundaries for others. Don't ever let somebody cross that line. If they do, that says a lot about them. The adage of when people tell you who they are, believe them, and really, truly believe them.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being here, but more importantly, for putting the time and the effort into the subject that is absolutely necessary. This is, again, I'm the father of four, and my youngest is a young lady who's 17 years old, and we're hoping the best for her and her three brothers as they go move forward. And I'm very appreciative as a parent that people like Dr. Carol Ann Peterson are doing this kind of work, and it's so important. Dr. Carol Ann Peterson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And again, the name of the book is Interpersonal Aggression, Complexities of Domestic and Intimate Partnership Abuse. Frank McKay here with a very important author, Dr. Carol Ann Peterson, PhD. Get the book. And, doctor, before you leave, can you give us a website or a social media site where people could follow along with you?
Absolutely. CarolAnnPeterson.com. And on the website, they can have a link to purchase the book. There's also my blogs are posted, so they can read about various topics in this area.
Thank you very much once again, and I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Frank McKay signing off. Part one of Dr. Carol Ann Peterson, and a wonderful author of a wonderful book. Dark subject, but an important subject that must be talked about. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.